Welcome to What the Paper Said, in which I, Patrick Crozier, skim through the Times from 100 years ago, read some of the articles and comment on the ones I find interesting. In this episode, the week ending the 5th of May 1924, the first ever Labour budget, I look at the figures. Hastings Corporation builds some houses, I look at the figures. And Agatha Christie's new book, I look at the figure. Also, why you should engage in money laundering. But first, some of the other items that have caught my attention this week. Last week, the railway industry extolled the safety of its trains. This week, inevitably, there was a crash. A train from Coventry ran into the back of a train from Watford in a tunnel just outside Euston Station. So far, five people have died. An inquiry is already up and running, and the signalman in question has accepted responsibility. Newcastle have won the FA Cup, beating Aston Villa 2-0. I saw this in Thursday's edition. Mr. Amon, Secretary to the Admiralty, Camberwell North, replying to Mr. Johnson, Stirling and Clackamannan, Labour, who asked if flogging had been re-established in the Navy for certain offences, said, "Boys convicted by court-martial of certain serious offences are punished by birching. After careful inquiry, I am satisfied that it would not be an advantage to abolish the punishment." The Labour government, the first ever Labour government, is a curiously unradical thing. More on that later. Perhaps that is because it is dependent on Liberal support. Not that Liberals are particularly well known for their support of corporal punishment. Support from the Liberals means that the Labour Party is under fire from the Communists. This is from Tuesday. "The open hostility of the Communist Party to the Labour government was shown in the summary of a manifesto by the British executive of the party, which appeared in the Times of last Saturday." Mind you, the antipathy is mutual. "The Young Labour League, at its first conference in London on Saturday, adopted an amendment to its constitution excluding young communists from membership." I saw this in Thursday's edition. "An unemployed working man found a roll of Treasury notes worth £48 on the pavement in Tooley Street, SE, and took it to Towerbridge Police Station, where it now awaits an owner." Many economists complain about paper money, such as the stuff that unemployed man handed in. A chap called Detlef Schlichter even wrote a book entitled Paper Money Collapse a few years ago, predicting coming economic chaos. But there are other dangers associated with paper money. "An investigation into the comparative hygienic merits of paper money and coin has recently been carried out in Berlin. The results are published in the Archiv für Hygiene," I guess that's how you pronounce it. "In commenting on them, the Lancet states that infectious diseases may be spread by paper money more frequently than by any other article in use among the people. The dirtiest piece of copper is, from the standpoint of a bacteriologist, better than newly issued paper money." And, one might add, from the standpoint of an economist. Talking of Germany, they're holding a general election at the moment. It doesn't sound like a great deal of fun. This is from Saturday. "Election meetings become heavy and heartless affairs, at which candidates deliver academic discourses to their adherents. Occasionally an indiscreet sentence will stir the best drilled audience to a howl of fury. Of heckling, in the proper sense, there is none, because there are no hecklers." You may dislike heavy and heartless affairs now, O Times correspondent, but in a few years' time, you're going to think they're the best thing since sliced bread. Or you would if they had sliced bread in 1924. I saw this in Saturday's In Brief section. "Hastings Corporation has decided to build 62 cottages and 44 two-storey flats at an estimated cost of £51,000. That's about £500 per house, which is about 100 ounces of gold, which is about £190,000 in today's money. Applying the Crozier fudge factor, that's about £100,000. I'm going to guess these are two-bedroom affairs. And I think I've made a mistake. I was going to compare this figure with current flat prices in Hastings, but would that be an apples and oranges comparison? This figure is the construction cost, not the market price. One presumes the construction cost is below market price. It certainly would be if this were a commercial business, but this is a council in the middle of a housing crisis, so maybe not. Well, for what it is worth, I did a search for new build two-bed flats in Hastings, and they were all on offer for more than £300,000. Of course, this all depends on Hastings Corporation being able to acquire the bricks. An item on Friday informed Times readers that there was a brick famine, although it didn't go into details as to why. I have occasionally come across articles in the Times talking about rings, which I take to mean cartels in the building industry. Maybe this is an example. In the 30th of March episode, I mentioned that Agatha Christie's short story collection Poirot Investigates was on sale. But for how much? An ad this week reveals that it is on sale for 7 shillings and 6 pence. So how much is that? It's about 1/3 of a pound, which is about 1/15 of an ounce of gold, which is a bit more than £100, which after applying the Crozier fudge factor gives us about £50. Not cheap. But a lot cheaper than part one of Winston Churchill's memoirs, The World Crisis, which were on sale for 30 shillings, exactly 4 times as much. It's not difficult to see why libraries were so popular. It's enough to make you want to rob a bank. Talking of which, this is from Friday. John Cook, 30, gardener, was sentenced at the Central Criminal Court yesterday to 5 years penal servitude on a charge of which he was found guilty of breaking and entering the premises of the National Provincial Bank at Staines. The case was that in which 2 men entered the bank at night, and when the officer in charge, Mr. E. C. Mugridge, came downstairs, Cook demanded money and was alleged to have put a knife to Mr. Mugridge's throat. Mr. Mugridge gave him 2 10-shilling notes. Or about £150 in today's money, or 3 copies of Poirot Investigates, or 2/3 of a copy of World Crisis. Also note that the officer in charge, as the Times calls him, appears to have been living on the premises. As mentioned earlier, this week saw the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Philip Snowden, announce the first ever Labour budget. The Times reproduced some of the tables from the 1924-1925 financial statement. So what do we learn? In the previous year, as stated in the 6th of April episode, revenue exceeded expenditure by £50 million. Total government spending was £922 million. Local rates, excluding Northern Ireland, these were the local taxes of the day, totaled £162 million. I am surprised that it is so much lower than central government spending. In England and Wales, of local government expenditure, £32 million went on poor relief, £30 million on education, and £9 million on the police. £72 million went on other services, which would include roads and, well, I'm not quite sure. I'd be curious to find out. The biggest source of revenue was then as now income tax, followed closely by customs and excise. One item that was missing from the figures was national insurance. This was the tax that entitled the payer to a pension, free GP appointments, and possibly, I'm not quite sure, unemployment benefit. There's no mention of taxes on alcohol. Snowden did mention them in his speech to Parliament. One odd figure I didn't understand was £48 million spent by the central government on education. Odd, because I had thought it was a local affair. The central government doesn't spend anything on the universities or other forms of higher education, to the best of my knowledge. This sum may be support to local education authorities. The biggest controversy is over something called the McKenna duties. These were a set of duties named after the then Chancellor Reginald McKenna, imposed during the war on luxury items such as cars, watches and film. The government is seeking to abolish them. These are presumably the duties that the chairman of Vauxhall was so worried about in the 13th of April episode. A modern Labour Chancellor would of course describe this as a tax cut for the rich. Did the budget balance? All I can say is it appears to. In his speech to the House of Commons, Snowden came up with this vignette. In estimating the inland revenue, there is one small item of fairly regular income, of which I have taken no account. Honourable members will see in the newspaper sometimes a small paragraph announcing the receipt by the Chancellor of the Exchequer from ABC or XYZ of conscience money. These announcements are usually accompanied by nothing more than an intimation that the remittances have been placed to the revenue. At times, however, there are very interesting letters. We recently had one from a poor widow enclosing 1 shilling 9 pence. And she explained that during the war, when milk was very difficult to get, she stole a tin of condensed milk from an army canteen. So much for army security arrangements. The matter had lain upon her conscience ever since. She had struggled hard to save the money, and at last she had succeeded. I think we might say of that, in the words of a great English writer, that the recording angel, in registering that woman's crime, would drop a tear on the page and blot it out forever. Hear. But such guilt-based remorse is not universal. Very different indeed is the letter from a man who wrote, "Dear Sir, I once defrauded you of £5. Remorse gnaws my conscience. I am sending you 5 shillings. Laughter. When remorse gnaws again, I will send you some more. Anyway, that's all for this week. For various reasons, I don't as such aim to have something up next week, so we'll just have to see how it goes. Not that it matters, because having listened to this week's episode, next week you'll be far too busy laundering your money.